Welcome to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. I'm your host, Jim Brangenberg. Think about it. Our view of God determines what we think on all moral, cultural, and economic issues. It even determines how we vote. Hope for the future of our country and our world lies in our ability to make God the issue in every issue. Today, we're talking about the five lies evangelicals believe, part two. We dealt with the first three in part one, and we're dealing with the last two in this part two of the podcast. Brad Bright's here to parse through all the details and all the lies that we believe, the top five, at least as evangelicals. Brad, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Jim.
Brad, since this is a part two of a two-part series, talking about the five lies that evangelicals believe, what's your purpose in talking about this? What's your heart behind this?
Well, as I mentioned in the first part, you know, our culture can influence us without even realizing it. And the point of the conversation is just to hold up a mirror for all of us to look into to see if we have inadvertently really fallen for any of the culture's lies. I mean, the lies the culture tells us every day. Because the reality is when we believe lies, the Christian life stops working the way God intended for it to work for us. So it's just to help you live the Christian life more effectively and experience God's joy, peace.
Wow. And so those lies actually prevent us from experiencing God's best in life here on the planet. I love it.
They certainly can.
All right. So on the last podcast, Brad, we talked about the first three of the five lies that evangelicals believe. God wants me to be happy. That's lie number one. God will never give you more than you can handle. That's lie number two. And lie number three is, in order to love your neighbor as yourself, you first must learn to love yourself. Can you briefly summarize what we talked about last week?
Yeah. First one, God wants me to be happy. The question is, does God want you to be happy, or does God want you to become formed to the image of Christ? Those two really kind of are conflict with each other, because in order to become more conformed to the image of Christ, we have to go through suffering. Romans 8 is very clear. That's the tool God uses to conform us to the image of Christ. The second one, that God will never give you more than you can handle, that's just an outright fabrication. Apostle Paul was very clear that God took him through suffering so that he could learn to rely on God more and more closely and to focus on him. And third, in order to love others, you must first learn to love yourself. I mean, Jesus defined love your neighbor as yourself as do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You don't have to learn to love yourself before you can treat others the way you want to be treated. And that's just, you know, the point is, are you going to be self-focused or others-focused? And that's the choice we all face every day.
That's a great summary. Love that. Okay. So let's move on, get moving on to the last of the two lies that evangelicals believe. What's the fourth lie?
That Jesus abolished the law and that the Old Testament no longer applies to us who are under grace today.
I know some pastors that teach that. I know a lot of believers that believe that.
I know pastors that teach that and believers that believe that too. I remember I was teaching the God is the Issue seminar up in Northern California. And we got to the Q&A part and case studies. And so this guy who was overt homosexual, and I don't think he was a Christian at all. I don't know. It didn't seem like it. But he started throwing questions at me. And finally said, you know, Jesus did away with the law. He abolished the law. And I thought, well, this guy clearly doesn't read his Bible very much. I said, have you ever read Matthew chapter 5, specifically verse 17, where Jesus said, quote, do not think I came to abolish the law and the prophets, that is the Old Testament. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And not only was that, but then Jesus raised the bar. He went immediately and said, you know, the Old Testament law says don't murder. I tell you, don't even be angry with your brother. If you're angry with your brother, you're in danger of hell's fire. And he said, the law says don't commit adultery. And I say to you, don't even lust after a woman in your heart, because if you do, you're in danger of judgment. Jesus was pretty clear.
That is pretty clear, but didn't Jesus pay the penalty for us?
Yes, he did, and that is the point. Somebody had to pay the penalty. You know, somebody pays every time I break one of the moral commands of the law. Every single time. And who is it that pays? As a follower of Jesus, it's Jesus that pays for me. Every sin I commit, every sin, every time I break the law, someone has to pay for it. There are consequences every time. If the law was abolished, why did Jesus have to suffer the consequences for my sin? I mean, it's like saying that no one's going to have to pay back the $1,200 the government gave me during COVID. It was completely free money. Well, that's wrong. My children or grandchildren are going to have to pay back that money, and they're going to pay it back with interest. It's going to come out of their pocket. Somebody's going to pay. Jesus' death on the cross didn't abolish the law. It didn't get rid of any of the consequences. It simply transferred the consequences of my sin to someone else. And that is what Jesus meant when he said he came to fulfill the law. He came to experience the consequences in my place. But Jim, there's one other reason, and it's critical that we need the Old Testament. And it's summed up in the question, what is the primary purpose of the Bible?
Okay, I'm assuming when we come back from the break, you're going to answer the question, because that's a great question. What is the primary purpose of the Bible? We're talking with Brad Bright today about part two of the five lies that evangelicals believe. And this one that we're in the middle of the conversation was that, you know, Jesus, he did away with the law. The Old Testament no longer applies to us who are under grace. That's a lie, but many of us believe it. You're listening to the God is the Issue podcast. We'll be right back.
Want to know more about how you can make God the issue in every issue? Get your copy of Brad's book, God is the Issue. Now in its third edition, you can get your ebook copy at brightmedia.org. Even better, if you subscribe to this podcast, you'll receive a coupon for one free download of God is the Issue ebook. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, and get God is the Issue ebook today.
Welcome back to the God is the Issue podcast. As we talk about the five lies that evangelicals believe, and right now we're in the middle of talking about that Jesus, he didn't fulfill the law. He abolished the law. That's what the lie is all about. He abolished the law. Brad, you asked a question. Yeah, I know you wanted to ask me the question, but this is your show. You're the expert. What is the primary purpose of the Bible, Brad?
Yeah, let's be clear. What we're saying is the lie is that Jesus came to abolish the law rather than to fulfill the law. Yeah, the purpose of the Old Testament, the purpose of the entire Bible, the purpose is to teach us who God is. So if we cut off half the Bible, we're going to have a really kind of warped view of who God actually is. If you ignore the Old Testament, look, you'll never understand God's justice. I mean, you won't fully, completely understand it. How much he hates sin. He hates it. And if you don't understand how much he hates sin, you'll never begin to understand how much God loves you. You know, here's the point. God is disgusted with my sin. He's disgusted with it. He loathes it. He hates it. He regards it as despicable. He despises it. God makes that crystal clear in the Old Testament that he despises sin. But here's the good news. He loves me more, even more than he despises my sin. And that's great news. That's great news.
All right. So you're saying that if we say the Old Testament and the law do not apply to Christians today, then we misunderstand why Jesus came to the earth. And furthermore, we also can't understand how much God loves us. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right.
Okay. Any final words on that?
No, it's just in order to understand how much God loves you, you have to understand how much he hates your sin. Otherwise, you'll never have a deep appreciation for his love.
And honestly, reading through the Old Testament, it's so powerful for us to help get a clear picture of who God really is.
Because it portrays his justice very well.
Yeah, it really does. All right, let's move on to that final lie that many evangelicals believe. Brad, what is it?
God is not sovereign.
Well,
God is not sovereign.
What? Wow, are you bold saying that you think that there are some Christians out there who don't believe God is sovereign? I mean, I think the Bible's pretty clear that he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's sovereign.
Have you ever heard anyone say, if I hadn't prayed, then God would not have done X, wouldn't have healed that person, wouldn't have protected that person, wouldn't have done X, Y, or Z? Jim, that's arrogance. If I hadn't prayed, God would not have. That's arrogance. That's taking partial credit for what God did. That is stealing God's glory. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's stealing God's glory. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need me. He doesn't need me to pray. He doesn't need you to pray. Look, when he works through me, when he works through you, he's given us the privilege of being on his team. But he can always find someone else to do his bidding. I remember a friend of mine a number of years ago. He came to Christ later in life. And I asked him one day, I said, you know, has there ever been a time when God asked you to do something and you didn't do it? And his chin dipped down just a little bit. And he said, well, about 2 years ago, God was telling me I needed to go talk to this one gal I knew about Jesus. And he said, I didn't really want to do it. And I was dragging my feet. And he said, I finally ran into her about a month later at a meeting. And she ran up to me. She said, I have to tell you what's happened to me. I've become a Christian. Oh, you see the point? My friend dragged his feet. So God just tapped one of his other servants on the shoulder and said, look, I was going to give this privilege to your brother over here, but he's dragging his feet, so I'm going to give it to you. You see, God doesn't need us, but he gives us the privilege of being involved, if we will.
That's a great perspective. So, Brad, as you look back over your life, have you ever crossed that line?
I would like to say no, but that would be an outright lie.
Well, we're talking about lies today.
I remember there was this project, a major project. I tried launching it 3 times, and every time it just fell flat. And finally, that night, after the third time it fell flat, I got on my knees beside the bed, and I just said, God, what's going on? I have been working hard to launch this, and it's not going anywhere. And God said, that's the problem. I said, what do you mean with what's the problem? You're working hard to launch it. And I said, I am. He said, Brad, you've worked hard, and you're kind of leaning on your own strength on this. And if you'd been successful, who would have gotten the glory? And I went, I am so sorry. I am so sorry, because I never want to steal God's glory. And I said, Lord, tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up and you tell me what to do. You see, I was working hard to make it happen, and I wasn't really relying heavily on the Spirit of God. So if it had happened, who gets the glory? Brad gets the glory. But God was very clear, Brad, it's time in your life you come to understand, I do not share my glory. And I said, yes, sir. See, God is the sovereign king. He is the one who gets the glory.
Thank you for sharing that. I know your dad, Brad, had a huge impact on your life. What did you learn from him, from Bill Bright, about God's sovereignty?
Oh, a ton. Where do I start? I remember it was just 2 or 3 years before he passed away. And we were chatting about prayer and fasting, because the last 7 years of his life, he did a 40-day fast each of those last 7 years. And so we were talking about fasting, and he said, you know, when I was a young man, I used to fast in order to move the hand of God. He said, but now I fast in order to better hear the voice of God. I remember thinking, that is the voice of maturity. That is a voice that understands the sovereignty of God. It's the prayer of God, I need you to do this, versus God, what do you want me to do? You see, when we understand the sovereignty of God, we come before God and say, God, what do you want me to do? All our agendas are put aside. It's simply, God, what do you want me to do? I remember after the night of election night when Bill Clinton was elected, I understand my dad was not a fan of Bill Clinton by any stretch of the imagination. He thought the guy was a scoundrel. But I remember when it became clear that Bill Clinton had been elected president, my dad got on his knees and said, Father, by faith, I thank you that you have put Bill Clinton in as the next president of the United States. You know, to pray that prayer, you have to believe in the sovereignty of God. And conversely, if you don't believe in the sovereignty of God, you can't pray that prayer, because you either believe your prayer is better than God's, or you're saying God's not fully in control. Either way, you're saying God really isn't sovereign. You know, Jim, in my case with cancer, if I can't get down on my knees and thank God for my cancer, then I'm either saying, God, you don't know what you're doing, or I'm saying, God, you're not really in control. You're not really sovereign. And that's the choice I face.
That hits kind of close. That's a little convicting.
It is for me, too. Because although I may get down on my knees and thank him tonight, tomorrow morning, I have to make that same decision.
That's for sure.
You know, here's one word I want everyone to remember. One word. And the word is oops. Oops. Reason I want you to remember that word, because it's a word God never says. God never says oops. You know, Job recognized God's sovereignty. And when he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, that is the key. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Fatalism says God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants, and I can't do anything about it. That's fatalism. That's not truly embracing the sovereignty of God. See, you can be an Eeyore, or you can be a Tigger. You know, Eeyore says, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away.
More like, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, like my tail.
Bummer. Yeah, that's the Eeyore perspective on God's sovereignty. But the Tigger perspective is, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Bouncy, bouncy, bouncy.
Bouncy, bouncy, bouncy. You know, attitude matters. Attitude matters. Don't deny the sovereignty of God with your attitude. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And he never says oops. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
And we'll be right back as we summarize our conversation on the five lies that evangelicals believe. Because we know you listening now understand you don't believe any of those lies either. We'll be right back.
Brad Bright travels the country speaking and training people how to make God the issue in every issue. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, to find out how you can bring Brad's highly interactive workshop to your area. It's fun, engaging, and most important, it will help make you more effective in making God the issue in every issue. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, and schedule Brad today.
Hey, welcome back to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright as we talk about and summarize the five lies that evangelicals believe. At the end of this two-part podcast, Brad, you know, we've covered all five of the five lies that evangelicals believe. Number one, God wants me to be happy. Number two lie, God will never give me more than you can handle. Number three lie, in order to love your neighbor as yourself, you must first learn to love yourself. Number four lie, Jesus did away with the law. The Old Testament no longer applies to us who are under grace. And the number five lie, God is not sovereign. How critical, Brad, is it that followers of Jesus get this right?
Well, let me respond with a few questions. How critical is it that God's top priority is to understand that God's top priority is to conform us to the image of Christ? How critical is it that we understand what love really is and how much God loves us? How critical is it that we truly believe that God is fully in control when the curveballs come and that he never says, oops? How critical is it that we understand who God really is? Look, if we don't understand who God is and what his agenda is, the Christian life will never work for us. Never, ever work for us. We will be incapable of changing the world for the better. I mean, that's it. That's how critical it is.
So if Christians lived out the truth behind these lies, how do you think the world would change?
Do you know how the world changes? What's the fundamental way the world changes? It changes one person at a time. One person at a time. Now then, if we treated others the way we wanted to be treated, do you think people would be more likely or less likely to respond to the message of the gospel?
More likely.
More likely. If we believed God was fully in control every moment of every day, if we really believed God never says oops, do you think it might change the way we respond to others, to our spouses, our children, our neighbors, our coworkers, our employers? And if it changed the way we respond to them, might it impact their lives?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, if we truly believed the curveballs of life were God's way of conforming us to the image of Christ, don't you think that would affect our attitude toward others and the way we treat others?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Yeah, I do too. You know, once we understand who God is, it makes all the difference in the world. And as we understand who God is more in a more deeper way, we change in response. And as we change, we're more capable of impacting the world around us.
We got to spread this, Brad. We got to find some way to take this message of these five lies that are so pervasive within Christianity. We're picking on evangelicals today, but it's really pervasive throughout Christianity.
It is. I picked on evangelicals because I is one.
Right. Okay. Yeah, you're one of those white evangelicals.
Yeah, I know.
How do we spread the truth about these lies? What's the best way to get this done?
Well, the first thing is just teach people who God is. Dig down into the nature and character of God, because the primary purpose of Scripture is to teach people who God is. So that's where we need to start. And once we come to understand who God really is in a deeper way, the lies become obvious. You don't have to then go point out all the lies. It's like, well, that's obviously not true. I mean, because I understand who God is. Until then, we're always going to be susceptible to the lies. And the reality is, when we believe lies, the Christian life doesn't work the way God intended. So that's pretty much in the nutshell. Those are what I believe are the five biggest lies evangelicals believe, maybe the entire body of Christ. But here's what I want to leave you with, is to remember, truth is not determined by how I feel. Truth is determined by how God feels. And once I get that right, life begins to make sense.
And if you've been suffering from one of these lies, living underneath one of these lies, I recommend you go back and listen to this podcast once more. Because as Christ followers, when we have an opportunity to impact our world, we need to stop living out the belief of these lies and start living the truth of who God really is. Brad Bright, phenomenal two-part conversation on the five lies evangelicals believe. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Jim.
And thanks for joining us today on the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. Remember, please check us out online. So many resources out there online at brightmedia.org, brightmedia.org. And as you're having conversations with your fellow Christ followers about the five lies that you've been believing and you're trying to seek truth on, remember to be kind, compassionate, and shrewd while making God the issue in every issue.